Dabra alam v'marte elov v'haloyischeres haneiris el mul pnei haminoira yairusheres haneiris. So Rashi says, loma nismecho parshas haminoira l'parshas hanesiim. Why is the parsha of haminoira right next to the end of last week's parsha, the parsha of the nesiim? L'fisha kisharoa aaron chanukas hanesiim chol sho'oz daitai. And Aaron saw the Chanukas on the scene, they all brought korbanos, every shevet brought a korban. He had a chalishas hadas, he wasn't with them, not him, not his shevet. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu chayecha, swear shalcho gedoylo shalohem, shatar madlik umeitiv es haneiris. So the Ramban asks the question, why was it chol shadayte shalara, that he wasn't makruv with the Nesiim? Zichru, his mile is greater than the Nesiim. He was zoicha to be makruv every single day, and he went lefnai belefnim on Yom Kippur, and he was the main person of the Gabi the Avoida. So what was the Chalishas Hadas? So I'm going to Yaakov Yitzchak Grudem and say, Kesadach Lebroch, the Rosh Hashiva of Ner Yisrael. He says over, it's Yudua Maisu with the Gro. But the Gro, right before he was Nifter, he was crying. So I meet him, asked him, Rebbe, why are you crying? You know exactly where you're going. So he said, it's not that. He says, he held on to his tzitzis, and he said, such a beautiful world, such a precious world, that for a few kopecks you could buy yourself a mitzvah like tzitzis, that you're not going to have in the Olam HaEmes. That's only down here, you're not going to have that up there. So Ruderman said, like Moshe Lamar Dovra Daima, he dressed a little kid up in a beautiful royal garment, and the imam is he's sparkling, and you put him into a big, beautiful room. He doesn't really know what he's doing. He doesn't really know where he is. He doesn't have a hasaga what Malchus is, you know. But someone that's older, Fashtei Bosda says, he says the Vilna Gaon understood what every single mitzvah like tzitzis for a few pennies. He understood it was an olam olay. We don't have that appreciation. But for those that have an appreciation of what a mitzvah is, every single mitzvah is an olam b'fnei atzmai. Because that was the chol shadayta shel Aaron. Of course, Aaron knew he's the koyein, tells things. But if there's a mitzvah that he didn't have, it bothered him he didn't have that mitzvah. Right? It bothered him he didn't have that mitzvah. For that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a pierce. What was exactly the pierce of the menorah? That's a different shayla. That the menorah is nitzchi, as the Ramban says, that the menorah is going to be even when there's no Beis HaMikdash. There's others that say that the menorah represents the Chochmas HaTorah, which is the shayrish of every mitzvah. That was the pierce. But Aaron felt bad. Here's a mitzvah I didn't get to take part in. Aaron understood what every mitzvah is. So by him it was a chol shadayta. V'zeh ma'isa ha-menorah. And this is the ma'isa of the menorah, how the menorah was made. Miksha zohav. It was chiseled out of gold. Ad yurecha, its base. Ad pircha, the flowers. Mikshi kamara, ashehera Hashem es Moshe, kein osas ha-menorah. Shimon Schwab Zatzal asks the question, why is the Torah telling us over here how the menorah was made? In Parshas Truma already tells us how it was made. In Parshas Vayakel it repeats it when the menorah was made. Over here it's telling us the mitzvah about Lachas Neiros that was given to Aaron HaKohen. But why does it say how the menorah was made? What shaychus does it have over here? So Schwab says the following. The Gemara in Masechtas Menachos Daf Chav Tes says, Niskasha Moshe al Maisa HaMenorah. Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time with the menorah. Ad sheheru le'akadosh baruch hu be'ezva, he showed him with an ezva, a menorah of esh. So Shimon Schwab says, he suggests that the mara of the menorah of esh was the same menorah that you find in the Navi Zechariah. In the Navi Zechariah, it says, Ra'isi, v'hinei menorah zov kula. It's a total menorah zav, v'gula al roishit, it was a big bowl of oil by the head of the menorah, v'shiva nereseha, and there was two olive trees nearby, and l'fi most mefarshim over there, the menorah was lit. That was the mara that Zechariah saw. So Rosh Hashanah wants to suggest that the menorah shalesh that Moshe Rabbeinu saw was probably the same menorah. And the menorah wasn't just the keli of the menorah, it was a menorah that was lit. So it comes out that the full menorah is not just the pipes coming out with the keli. The fire is a chelik of the menorah. It's not just a leichter upon which you do the avodah of hadlaka. The lights themselves are a chelik of the menorah. So it comes out that when Aaron HaKohen lit the menorah, he was building the menorah. Because that was mamashich, the flame is a chelik, it's the makab patish of the keli, right? Well, see that Mara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu, which he suggests is the Mara that Zechariah saw. So Ibazari comes out, calls man, Aaron didn't light it, the menorah wasn't yet built. It was a chosidik menorah. So Aaron actually built the menorah. He made the gemar on the menorah. She says, well, see this, the hemshech of the psukim comes very good. It says, Vayas came Aaron, El mu plea menorah, Helene reisel. And that it says, "Vizem Maisa Hamenayra," because with this the Maisa Hamenayra was finished. The lighting of the Menayra was the finishing of the creation of the Menayra. So he says, "Lefidus, he could also be Mavarer what the pierce was to Aaron. The Nesiim, they brought Korbanos and a ready-made Mishkan, but Aaron was involved in the actual building of the Mishkan because the lighting of the Menayra that is finishing off the keli of the Menayra." This is what Rav Schwab says. So I was thinking, what's the significance? Now, first of all, the Nevuah of Zechariah is very much Negeya Mamish at this moment. The Nevuah of Zechariah. What was the Nevuah of Zechariah? What was Zechariah was, he saw a menorah that was lit, and there was a keli of oil that was flowing memela into the menorah. Where was the oil coming from? From the two olive trees that were flowing memela, and the whole thing happened by itself. And this was a Nevuah for what's going to be when Klal Yisrael is going to come back, Bisman Binyan Bayashani, is going to happen by itself. It's not going to happen with any wars. And on that he says, Loi b'chel v'loi b'koyach, not with armies and not with koyach, ki in baruch yomar Hashem tzibokes. And that's really a nevuah for us, mamish, right now, that the only way we're going to be zoichet to the Yeshuas is by sitting and learning, by Torah, by Ma'isim Toivim, ki in baruch yomar Hashem tzibokes. But what's the significance of the Neres being a chelik of the menorah? So it could be, I know that the Chassam Sofer says, Kaftereh Procheh Mimeno Yiyu. Kaftereh Procheh represent the different Midas Taibis. That has to come from the Torah. And the menorah represents the Chochmas HaTorah. Gemara Navay Dezorah, the famous Gemara Amar Pinchas Ben Yor, which the Mesilas Yesharim is Geboit on the Smaim HaChazal. Right, Torah may be early days of heroes, and heroes may be early day Nikios, and Nikios all day precious, and so on and so forth. But it all originates from the Torah. So the candle is a chelik of what trickles down to the other midas. That's a chelik of the keli, and that's what gives the hashpah to the other midas. Im ein Torah ein derech eretz. You have to have that koyach haTorah. That's a chelik of that derech eretz. I think that might be a little bit of the significance over there. The Torah is Meirich very much on the Nesiyos of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. Al Pi Hashem Yisro B'nei Yisrael, Al Pi Hashem Yachem. They traveled Al Pi Hashem, they camped Al Pi Hashem. Uvaharech Ha'onan Ala Mishkan Yomim Rabim, when the Onan was on the Mishkan for many days, B'shamri B'nei Yisrael as Mishmeres Hashem, Velo Yisro. It goes weiter. V'yesha sheyiha onan yomim mispar ala mishkan. It wasn't there for very long. Al pi Hashem yachnu, al pi Hashem yiso. V'yesh asheyiha onan me'erev ad boike. It was only there from evening till morning. V'nala onan ba boike minasov. Oy, not enough. Yoimon v'layla v'nala onan minasov. Tremendous arichas over here. We know the Torah does not make an extra kutzah shel yud, and over here the Torah is ma'aruch with all the possibilities. It was there for a long time, they didn't travel. It was there for a number of days, they traveled after a few days. It was there for one day, one night, they traveled in the morning. It was there for a day and a night, they traveled. What's going on over here? What's the Torah telling us over here? So the Ramban says, Givaldi, the Ramban and the Sipurna also, that this arichas is coming to tell us the shvach of Klal Yisrael. They traveled only al pi Hashem, and they were mevatel their entire ruts in Takodesh Baruch. So first the Torah says, "Em yarech onan al mishkan yomim rabin." It was there for very long. It could be there for years. It was a lousy place. It was a terrible, uncomfortable place. Vashtei, they wouldn't move from that place. Even if it was uncomfortable, even if it was difficult, they would not move from that place. V'yesh, it was possible. If the owner was there for Yom and Mispar for 2 or 3 days, and they were knocked out from traveling, they were tired, and they wanted to be here already. Well, let's relax, let's have a little bit of a vacation. After 2 or 3 days, boom, they went with the owner. The Sipurna is Moisiv on this prat. When the owner was there for a couple of days, sometimes they came to a beautiful place. Ah, your schmack is gewaldig. After a couple of days, you gotta go. It's very, you know, trying. Afal Pikein, they followed. Sometimes they traveled through the night and they rested there for 1 day and invited Yigangin. But even worse, let's say they traveled through the night, then they rested for a day and a night. So if they were there for the day, they already unpacked all their stuff. They had time to settle themselves in and say gebaldig. And after they're settled in already, after the next night, they're traveling again. That's worse than the first thing. But afal pikein, they didn't ask any questions. They put away their discomfort. They put away their hardships. Al pi Hashem yachnu, al pi Hashem yisav. So this is Simcha Zisel, it's out of the Rachi. He says that this is a Torah Shleim and Avodas Hashem. Discomforts, hardships, there's one thing that matters in life. Al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yiso. Anything else, it can be comfortable over here, time to go, we leave. It can be uncomfortable here for a long time. If Hashem says it, this is what we're doing. This is the Hashkof of the Yid, that we travel al pi the Dvar Hashem. We do things al pi the Dvar Hashem, even when things are uncomfortable, it goes against our grain. Agav, the Panavish Rav said over that when he learned in Ragim by the Chofetz Chaim, so one time the Chofetz Chaim went away for a very long time together with Remendel Zatz for some tzayvah. The Chofetz Chaim was already old and frail, and it was difficult for him to travel. And finally he came back home. So Panavish Rav wanted to see what he's like when he comes back after a long trip. So he went right away to visit the Chofetz Chaim's house. Rav Mendel Zaks was still with his coat half on. He didn't totally take off his coat yet. Chofetz Chaim was sitting by an open Rambam, arranging his tongue like nothing happened. That's mamish. He was in a spall. He couldn't get over it. And he said it over to the Chofetz Chaim's aiden, Svi Levinson, I think he said it over to his Chofetz Chaim's ainikel. He wasn't small from the Bechlau. He says, this is it. Yes, this is regular by the Chofetz Chaim. And come from a long nesiyah, and he said, straight back into learning, Al pi Hashem yachanu, Al pi Hashem yiso. Asei l'cho shtei chatzoytzus kesef. So Rashi says, Asei l'cho, ato oisu umishtamish ben, v'lo yacher. You will use these chatzoytzus, but nobody else. What's the limud from over here? That the chatzaitras of Moshe were only used by Moshe, but they were not used by anybody else. Like, what's the nukuda over here? So I'm going to be of Ramsky, Zatzal said, that every single generation needs its own chatzaitras. What does that mean? The tkiyas and the truas are the same. The message that's called out the generation is the same. Moshe Kibbutz Torah, Sinai, Mitzrayim, Yeshua, Yeshua, Zakenim, the Torah does not change. The message doesn't change, the Musa doesn't change. But the Keli, which is given over, that does not live the same from door to door because there's different generations. What's good for one generation is not necessarily good for the other. Sometimes things have to be clothed in a different way. The message cannot change. The message has to be the same. Over, the Keli through which is given over is not necessarily the same. I know someone, a Choshev speaker, has a very good sense of humor. And he spoke once for a certain Moisid. And the Menahelis of the Moisid, it was an old time Menahelis. And to her humor, somehow or other, she was expecting like Musar, hardcore old time Musar. So she said, "Bei uns auf dem Dorf kein Mensch gesehen." So he told her over this word. He says, the message is the same. The chatzaitras have to change. We'll feed the dog. Now, it's evolving his life. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky was another doyer shalom the kind. It was Yodua that he used to write, you know, he used to write in Yonam of Hashkof, and then he used to write in a flowery lashon in a way that would appeal to the new generation. So Leib Gurwitz said a hesped on him. He said that Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky Yodua was old generation mamish. Talmud Rav Chaim Brisker, he was mamish, old generation. Over the keli, which he used to be able to convey it, the chatzaitris, that was done in a different form. And the emesis, you see this throughout the history of Klal Yisrael. Throughout the history of Klal Yisrael, there were new kelim that were introduced. There was the Rambam introduced the Yad HaChazaka. And for the philosophers, he introduced Meir Nebuchim. Later on came out the Shulchan Aruch. Later on came out Chassidus, which was a new keli to give over the old messages. There was the Musar movement, was also a new keli to give over the old messages. So, that's really this limud that Yecheskel Abramsky said that we get from the Chatzaitres. V'ho asafsuf asher bikirboi his'avu taiv. The asafsuf, the rabble that was within them, his'avu taiva, they cultivated a taiva. They made a taiva. I remember my Rosh Hashiva of Gifta Zatzal, when he spoke about this topic, his'avu taiva, he said, picture to yourself, someone takes a teaspoon of coffee and puts it in his mouth. Bitter or whatever. But he is mamish, and every day he takes a teaspoon of coffee and he develops a taiva for bitter coffee. So they didn't have a natural taiva for all of these things. That was not a natural taiva. His avu taiva. They cultivated a taiva. That's what happened over here. By Yeshu, by Yivku Gam B'nei Yisrael, by Yom Rimiach Ilenu Basar. And by Yishma Moshe Son Boichel Mishpachoyso. And then it says, Vayichar af Hashem me'oid, uve'enei Moshe ro. Vayichar af Hashem me'oid. You don't find such a lashon b'chol Torah kula. Vayichar af Hashem me'oid. Hashem, his anger burned very much. This is the only place you find such a thing. As ashar v'loshon, the anger burned very much. So it's talking Aveira, but what was the chaymer of the Aveira over here that it says, Vayichar af Hashem me'oid? Sveitens Moshe Rabbeinu also, he expressed himself in a very sharp terms that you don't find. He says, if you're going to be annoyed with me like this, Hargeni no Haroik. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was very much upset about this. It was like he was in a matzav of Yish. What was the chaymer of this Aveira that caused such charoinaf on the part of Hashem and such disappointment on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu? So Sefer Ber Moshe, Hozer of Rebbe Zechzav of the Kodesh Lebracha, he says that the mafteach to understand the pnimius of this aveira, it's written in the Torah itself. When Hakadosh Baruch Hu said the oinish that's going to happen to Klal Yisrael, he said Yam ki ma'astem as Hashem asher b'kir b'chem, because you rejected Hashem that's within you. What does that mean? You rejected Hashem that's b'kir? Because of Rashi, im loyshen otati shchinosi b'neichem. If I wouldn't have planted my Shechina amongst you, because I planted my Shechina amongst you, this is what caused you to do these aveiros. What's the Shaykh's why? He says, what was the site of the complaints of the Bnei Yisrael? They weren't lacking food. They weren't lacking anything. They weren't lacking in mamash garnish. The Medrash says, what was the problem? Says all we have now is the mon. In the morning we have mon. In the evening we have mon. Shabbos we have mon. Person wants to make a sudas mereyim, a simcha dikazach, he has mon. Serves mon. A sad kind of a suda, he serves mon. He said, what am I say? You know, somebody in yeshivas they used to serve a lot of potatoes in the old days. Had nothing else to serve. So somebody came over to the yeshiva. He said, Rabbi, what brachi make on potatoes? What do you mean? It comes out of the ground. You make Adama. So what happens if it's coming out of your eyes, ears, and nose? What bracha do you make? So the mentor says they weren't lacking anything. The mon had the time of everything. They were bored. Life was lacking color. They wanted, you know, some sort of, change, you know, make life interesting. You know, mon. But where did that asaga come from? An evet. That works, you know, as an Eved, he doesn't have such a saga. Mitzrayim didn't have such a saga. Mitzrayim, they were lucky to get a piece of bread to eat, right? They were, if you want shita, they ate matzah. They had no time to make anything else. They didn't have a choice in Mitzrayim. So where do you become such feinschmeckers, you know, that you become so particular about what you eat? Where did that come from? The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it was the Shechina Shenatati B'Soichachem. I planted my Shechina amongst you. The SS Chemal Kanfei Nesharim. I carried you on the wings of eagles. I broadened your horizons. I broadened your horizons in Gashmias. I made you Ois Avodim. I broadened your horizons in Ruchnias. I gave you big Hasagas. Why did I give you these Hasagas? For the purpose of Ruchnias. I gave you Hasagas. You should have Sheifas for Godless to become great. And what did you do with this broadening? What did you do with the Shechina Shenatati B'Soichachem? You turned it up upside down, and now you're using it for Dvarim Gashmiim. You know, Hirchavti Es Libchem, I widened your hearts. So what are you doing? You're making other things enter your heart, and you have a taiva for other things. This is the biggest Pshia Shaykh. You take a matana that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, and your mom is turning it around to use it for the wrong things. That's why Yichrav Hashem Ma'ayit. Hashem got very angry. And Moshe Rabbeinu became miyuyish because Kozman, a person, has a shiva for ruchnias. So if he's nichshul one thing, he's nichshul in another thing, so there's hope you could steer him in the right direction. But if a person has shiivas for gashmias, that becomes what he's all about. This is what he wants. So then already there's no hope. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a tremendous chalishas hadas. Dozog de ben Moshe. The emphasis is that this is a tremendous legal muster for us, because we are really experiencing that bizman hazeh. Before World War II, then there's given grace hasogis and gashmias. Before World War II, there was poverty. Before World War I, there was poverty. Yidden did not have many opportunities for the yechidim, for states that were wealthy and such, but by and large, the goyim took away all of the opportunities for parnosah from Yidden. Way back when. Everywhere, in Russia, in Poland, in Hungary, they didn't have big hasagas and gashmias. They were lucky they put bread on the table. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us here after World War II here to America. Most of the people were impoverished. They didn't have a mokar of parnosa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made nisim. Made nisim. Why did he make these nisim? He's rebuilding us to build Torah, to build ruchnias, so we'll be ready to be makabel b'nei Mashiach. And the nisim that we see over here with the moizdes, hatayri, yeshivas, and kollel, and these yachid, yiddish, and communities, the chesed organizations, it's mind-boggling what's going on. Nisim, nisim, compared to when I was a kid till now. You might have seen nisim in front of you. So this was all done for the purpose to be mala aruchnis for shivas and godless and dveikas b'Hashem. Now, Baruch Hashem, it is happening. But unfortunately, along the way, we're picking up tremendous hasagas and gashmias. And may I say that the Jewish publications have a good chelik in it. The advertisements that are yay wide, yay long, everything is a big thing. If you look back at the old Jewish observers, or the old Yiddish bars, or even the Jewish press, you had a little box that announced a hotel or whatever, a hotel or this getaway or this product. It was a little box, that was it. Here, everything is a full page in color, and now you have AI also to make, you know, big, and to give you these big hasagas, whether it's furniture, whether it's vacations, whether it's a thick, juicy steak, whatever it is, it's big and wide. And this is, it's muktzah machmas midas. A person has to be repulsed by this, especially if you come from the previous generation, and you remember what it was like then, and you see what it's like now. Shtus and v'havolim. So this is really, this is a lesson to be learned from this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made nisim for us to have hasagas and ruchnias, and people are abusing it and using it for the wrong things. No, this is something that we have to be very much sensitive to and aware. The Ha'ish Moshe Onav Mikolod Mashal Pneo Adama, the Mice of Aaron and Miriam, spoke about Moshe Ala Isha HaKusha Shalaka. I saw a Dover Nifla in a recent book that came out called Awaken Your Amuna by Rabbi Yaakov Aster. It's a hafla of a fellow that you book. It just can drive one crazy from the Niflois Abayre. It's Alpi Rav Avigdor Miller, and Rav Avigdor Miller takes lessons from the Bria. I highly advise getting it. It'll blow your mind. But anyway, so one of the topics that he discusses over there is the skin. The skin is a universe b'fnei atzmai. It's the biggest aver in the body. It weighs over 10 pounds. It's the biggest limb in your body. And the layers with what goes on in the skin, what it does, it's unbelievable. The chokhmah that's placed in the skin. It cleans, it's self-cleaning, it has chemicals in it that replenish. It's neuro volume. One of the features of the skin is, well, you have the sense of pain, you have the sense of heat, you have the sense of cold, pressure you feel, if you wouldn't feel pressure, touch, if you wouldn't have pressure and touch, you wouldn't be able to handle anything. It's neuro volume, the chokhmah. But one of the amazing things about the skin is that there are certain things that it doesn't send messages to the brain. On pain, it sends messages to the brain. Heat, cold, pressure, touch. But there's certain things it doesn't send. A marshal of air blows against your skin, you hardly feel it. It's a shvacha message to the brain. Other kinds of things that you don't feel. Why is that? Because if the skin would react and the senses would react to every single thing, and there'd be thousands of messages to the brain every second, we'd go for sugar. You know, I would be shaking like this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that the skin is able to filter out that not every sense is communicated to the brain. So Rabbi Gamliel says that we could learn a tremendous lesson from this also. The same way the skin is not programmed to be able to sense everything, the mind is programmed like that also. Now, we don't have to be sensitive to every single thing. The mind has a koyach that certain things that upset us, we have a way of, you know, just fending it off and not having to register it in the brain. And that's what Chazal say, hane'elovim ve'enam oilvim, those that are embarrassed, and they don't feel the need to shoot back. Shoymin cherposam ve'enam yeshivim, Oisim me'ahave, smechim b'yisurim, v'aleim nemer v'aleavim, k'tseis ha'shemesh b'gurase. You don't have to react to every single thing. Just like the skin has the ability of just ignoring whatever, our minds have that ability, is up to Rabbi Gamliel. And how much pain a person would save himself by just bending it off. L'motzosi la'guf toiv mishtika. Guy's overly sensitive, somebody looks at him the wrong way, and he gets answered back, and then pretty shortly it comes to fists, you know. But if someone is able to look away, now what shaykh does it have to the parasha of Moshe Rabbeinu? Why? If we're given such a koyach, so why don't we use it? Where does it come from? And the answer is, v'ho'ish Moshe onov, mikolod mashal pnei ha'adam. Because of his onov, he didn't react. The Ramban brings down a shita, they didn't speak behind his back, they spoke to his face. And say a word. And because of that, because he didn't defend himself, Hashem came to his defense. Right? So if we don't we don't react to every single thing, if you have the proper midah of anova, someone that's, you know, that has too much pride and he has to react to everything, he's not in a good situation. Because everything becomes a big deal, everything becomes a fight, he gets angry at everything. That's a lesson to be learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll tell you over a Nifla de Kamaisa, I heard from a Talmud of mine. Nifla de Kamaisa, maybe I mentioned it here before. Rabbi Chanan, Zeichatzad of the Kodesh Levracha, he was here in America before the war. He was collecting money for his yeshiva. Yeshiva was in bad financial straits. So one of the places he went to was Cleveland to collect money. So it was a Yid that lived in Cleveland. At that time, he was a young bachur. His name was Rav Meir Zanitsky, Zechrono Levracha. From the biggest Talmud Chacham I ever saw in my life. He was a Talmud Chacham, Mufli Admoi. See, he was a young Bacher when Rabbi Chanan came to Cleveland, and he decided he's going to mamish be Mishamish Rabbi Chanan, wherever he goes, he's going to be Mishamish. The Samaisa came Shabbos, and the Rabbi Chanan was Mechubit to say it Rosh in the big shul. And for Shteitzah, it was an appeal for money. Look, so he gets up before Musav, gets up to speak, and he gave a Gansid Rosh. And the Balabatim were getting nervous or whatever, and there's murmurings, as happens during groshes when they carry on a little bit. Rabbi Chana said, my Rabbi San Shulitz, please excuse me. He says, I know that you're waiting for your chalant. He says, but the chalant will be there when you get home. But the Bachram need to have something to eat. They don't have what to eat. So if you could please, you know, excuse and just listen a little bit longer. As he's saying this, the president of the shul gets up. Rabbi, don't tell us what to do. You know, don't tell us what to do. You know, this is our shul. And then, he's whatever. And Rav Chanan just went on with the drush. He didn't react, nothing. After davening, people went over to the president, are you crazy? You know what you just did? You told him to go to one of the G'dayli Adar, a holy year, or whatever. He's a real American Yankee doodle dandy, you know? And, I didn't know. So after Mincha, Rav Chanan came back from Mincha, he went over, he wanted to ask Rav Chanan for Mechila. So he went over to Rav Chanan, I'd like to ask, you know, forgiveness or whatever. So Chana says, for what? She says, I interrupted in the middle of the speech or whatever. For nothing, he had no idea. So Rav Zinitsky was there, he says, I'm bitten from the drosha, then it's Arangishring, you know. What are you talking about? He had no idea that anybody had spoken. He heard some disturbance, he just tuned out. You know, and he went right with the drosha. He had no idea that somebody interrupt him in the middle in the way of chutzpah. That's a koyach of someone. Mamish, what we're taught, where Avigdor Miller says that the brain is given the power to just let things, you know, slip off. And a person that's able to do that is a very lucky person. He avoids machloikis, he avoids strife, he avoids unnecessary pain. And then such a person is gebenched. That's a lesson to be taken from it. Guten Shabbos. This Talmud of mine, the Talmud of Maisi, was a nephew of Rabbi.